Good morning. Well, I'm in a different spot this morning for sure. I have to admit, Jeff, I'm a little bit nervous about this one because traveling like I do, I would go preach places and I would leave and never have to go back for a while. But I have to be back here next Sunday, so. The blessing about this for y'all is I'm a musician. I'm used to getting my point across in about 3 minutes. Okay, so we're good. Yeah. But that's not going to happen this morning. So, I was joking with Jeff before, whenever we met, we came back that Sunday after my bike ride and we met, and there was a deal on the back of the bulletin, the little cartoons, and it said, this guy saying, I'm going to have fun with your people this morning. It said that awful moment whenever the pastor realizes this might not have been such a good idea. But, I thought that was kind of ironic that he asked me to preach the day after that was in there. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 12 this morning. I'm going to share one of my favorite verses with you, and I'm going to share a little bit of my story this morning, if y'all will oblige me on that. Hebrews 12. Verses 1 and 2 say this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Y'all pray with me, please. Father, we just come to you this morning. God, just humbled in your presence again, God, as we listen to the music, we just exalt thee this morning, God. You are high above all the earth. You're exalted above all gods. I just praise you this morning, and I thank you for the ability to stand here and to bring your word. Lord, I just pray for everyone that's here this morning that you'll just open our hearts and our minds to what you need to say to us in a special way, in a way that only you can do, God. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And we just pray for your holy presence this morning. We know you're already here. Just do a work through us, God. In your precious name. Amen. As I said, this is one of my favorite verses. And I may start to wander up here. I don't stay behind the pulpit very well. So if I get out of camera, just try to follow me. This is one of my favorite verses. It gives us direction. And it reminds us to focus on Christ. As you saw, and may have seen in the bulletin, the title of this message is "Where's Your Focus?" And I think we would all agree that focus is a very important thing in life, don't you think? Direction and focus. And I tell this story. A few years ago, I always said I wasn't going to have a dog, especially not an indoor dog, which I have one now. We have a 5-year-old Cocker Spaniel. His name is Bandy. He's named after Bandy the Rodeo Clown. If you can imagine a country singer having a dog named after Bandy the Rodeo Clown. But this happened to me one day. I'd never had an indoor dog. I was raised in the country, and, indoor dogs just didn't happen out there. So I had to get used to certain things with Bandy, and I'm going to say this as nicely as possible. I had to get used to taking him out to take care of his business, okay? And one day I picked him up. I would get frustrated with him because I would take him out and he would just run around the yard. And it's like, just go out and do this and come back in. That's all I need you to do. I was tired one day after work, so I picked this dog up and I walked out the door. And as I walked out, I said, okay, Bandy, we're going outside. Focus. And then whenever I got out on the porch and he started running around the yard, I started laughing. And I came back in, and Danny asked, she said, what are you laughing about? I said, do you think God ever does that with me? Okay, Clay, here's what I want you to do, focus. And then he sets me down, and I start running all over the yard, not doing what he asked me to do. And I guarantee I've done it. But it's been a blessing over the past few years to be able to travel. And talking about direction and focus, Danny and I were driving through Snyder, Texas one day. And if you're familiar with the signs that say God, that they call God Speak signs, they're the black signs with the white writing, and they'll have a message in their sign God. As we drove through, I looked up, and there was a man standing on the side of the road hitchhiking. And the sign behind him, I wish I'd had a camera, it said, do you have any idea where you're going, God? But it got me to thinking, do I really have any idea where I'm going? Do any of us really have an idea where we're going in life? So as I bring this message this morning, I want you to just Think about one question. I want you to ask yourself, where is my focus today? As we go back to Hebrews 12:1-2, is it truly on the author and perfecter of your faith? Or are you focused on earthly problems? Are you focused on a past hurt, something somebody said about you, about financial issues, health issues? What are you focused on today? That's what I want you to ask yourself. Because what I think we do, we spend so much time focusing on our problems in life that we get blurred vision. We lose sight of the one that tells us in Matthew to come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We lose sight of the one that tells us to cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. You know, you listen to those scriptures and you may be saying that's easier said than done. I've heard those scriptures all my life, and there's times it's like, you know, God, I know you want me to do this, but it's hard. You know, you may be sitting there today saying that sounds easy, but you don't know what I've been through. And my answer to you is, you're right. I don't know what you've been through, but God does. You know, Jesus knows what you've been through. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our struggles, our victories. He knows our strengths, our weaknesses. He's been with you through the valleys. And guess what? He's the one that's carried you to the mountaintop. He's been all those places with you. He's watched you stumble, and he's given you the strength to stand up again. That's the beauty of our God. He knows what's blurring our vision today. I always shared this with people, and I always said it sounds real positive, but you know, God never promised that we wouldn't have problems in life. I share this verse so many times in John 16:33. You've heard it. In this world, you will have problems. And I always say, yeah, that sounds real positive. That's what you want to hear when I stand up and preach, right? In this world, you will have problems. But I love the second part of the verse where he tells us to take heart because he's overcome the world. If we can stand on that, that's the beautiful part of that scripture. It reminds us, just like Hebrews 13:5, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Now, there are going to be trials. There are going to be mountains to climb. There's going to be times when you feel like giving up. And it's in those times, those trying times, that God can show up the strongest. And I've experienced that a lot of times in my life, but never more than I have in the past few years. And I had the opportunity here on the walk to Emmaus a while back to share this story. And I'm going to share a little bit of it this morning, if y'all allow me to. And I have to admit that I struggle at times with sharing my story, because I never want it to be about me. I never want it to be about what I've done or what I've gone through. But as you listen this morning, I just pray that you'll hear what God can do in your life if you'll allow him. You'll hear what he's done in my life and what he can do for you if you'll just focus on him. Back in 2005, I started to go back to 1967, but I figured that was a little far back, but I'll go back this far. Back in 2005, life was really good. I had my wife, Danny, my daughter, Rachel. She was 10 at the time. Had a beautiful home. At that point, I was a captain with the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. I'd worked my way up through the ranks. I had a goal of going as far as I could working for the prison system. I've been with them for 19 years now. At that time, we were traveling. We were on the road almost every weekend playing at churches, doing music. I'd released my first Christian country CD. I was getting airplay on the radio. I just thought life was cool. You know, it's like, how much better could it get? I thought I had it all together, and I thought I knew where things were headed. You know, people told me when I started with the prison system, they said, I can't see you being a correctional officer the rest of your life. I would tell them, I'm not going to be. I'm going to be a warden. I'm going to be a director. I'm going to do all these things. I didn't know God was working behind the scenes telling me that that's not where your life's going. But I had to learn that I wasn't the one in control. Back on June 20th of 2005, that day started just like any other day. I went into work. Now, I had a headache that morning when I got up. I went to work. I thought it'd get better. We had a meeting that Monday morning, and as I stood up from that meeting, my legs buckled under me, and I fell back in my chair. My first thought was, well, that was weird. Okay. And, you know. But as the day went on, I figured I would get better, but as the day went on, I found myself getting dizzy. My hands and my feet were going numb, and I started having all these problems, you know. And my first thought was, well, I'm a tough correctional officer. I can handle this. I'll get better. It'll go away. By about Wednesday, I was starting to get real concerned. It wasn't getting better. I got to where all I wanted to do was come home and lay on the couch. I was that tired. We decided we needed to get it checked out. And one day I came home and I found Danny on the internet, and she was looking up a thing called multiple sclerosis. Of course, I looked at her and said, why are you looking at that? She said, well, you were laying on the couch last night, and for some reason that just flashed into my head. She said, and then we had a doctor come into work today, and I kind of explained to him what was going on, and he mentioned it, so I thought I would look it up and see what it was all about. When she said that, my mind flashed back to something back in 1996, going back a little further. I was walking through our living room one day, and this commercial came on TV, and it just stopped me in my tracks. I wish I could show you that commercial, but basically it started off with a young lady, and it took chain and barbed wire and wrapped it around her mouth. It said, imagine one day you can't speak. And I was like, wow, okay. And then it took that off. It said, the next day you can speak, but you can't see. Then it said, the next week you can see, but you can't hold your child, and wrapped it around her hands. Then it took it off and said, the next month you can walk, or you can hold your child, but you can't walk, and it wrapped it around her legs. And I just stood there staring at the TV, and my first thought was, wow, I'm glad I don't have to deal with something like that. You know, there's enough problems in life. Now, then I started thinking about something else I'd read. Being involved in country music, loving country music all my life, there's a guy named Clay Walker. We call him the other Clay at our house. But he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis probably around 95 or 96. And I remember being at my parents' house in Lubbock, and he had just done a concert there. And there was a review of this concert, and they were just trashing him. They were saying he was sluggish on stage. You know, he just act like he didn't care. And I was just reading that, and I thought, you know, give the guy a break. He was just diagnosed with MS. And then my thought went back to, and I'm glad I don't have to deal with something like that. So I had those flashbacks, but less than 10 years later, here I was, face to face with the possibility of dealing with this. And what did I do? In proper fashion, I started questioning God. And I'm like the little kid when I question God. I always tell people this. I'm the one saying, why? Why? You know. But here's what happened, and I want y'all to catch this really, really good. Here's what I heard on the inside when I started questioning God. These are the two things I heard. It's going to be okay, and do you trust me? I heard that so deep down inside, and I just stopped, and I thought, you know, God, I don't have a choice. You know, we've been on the road. We've been doing all these things, and I've had to trust you for a lot of things. So I knew I had two choices right at that point. I could let this situation tear me apart, and I could just stop living. Or I could trust him and know it was going to be okay and let others see him through my circumstances. That was my two choices. I began reading my Bible, and I was reminded of two scriptures that I've heard all my life. And I've asked Lee to put these up. The first one is 2 Corinthians 12. And it's the story of the thorn in the flesh. And as you read that story, we don't know what that thorn was, but we know that he asked the Lord three times to take it away. But verse 9 is the one that really caught my attention as I read this that day. It says, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, I read that all my life. I've heard it all my life, being in Sunday school, everything else. But that day, I got it. I was sitting there weak. I didn't know what to do. And as I read that, my grace is sufficient. That was speaking straight to me. Then there was a second scripture. I turned over to James 1. Verses 2 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Listen to the last part of that verse. God wants us to be mature and complete. Isn't that incredible? He wants us to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And the only way to be complete is to allow Him to fill the emptiness in our lives. And I had to do that. I had a lot of questions. I didn't understand where things were going, but I just kept going back to what He said. It's going to be okay, and do you trust me? These scriptures, they kept me strong and focused even as my symptoms increased. We went to doctor after doctor. We did test after test. I was getting tired of seeing doctors, I can tell you that. Saw some I didn't want to be around, some that I liked, some I didn't like any of them. Personality-wise, I'll say that. But all we were doing was ruling out things that could be or might be. You know, they were saying, well, it's not this. It's like, I don't care what it's not. I want to know what it is, okay? But I did find a doctor that finally said, you know, I'm 98% sure this is what you're dealing with. We're going to treat it that way. And in 5 years, I may have to apologize to you. But he said, I've seen it too many times. But all this time we were still traveling, people were praying for me, and I continued to know that it was going to be okay. I just had to trust him. And through all this, an opportunity came to step out of being a security supervisor. They came and told me about a job that was coming open. They said, you know, you can move into this. You know, no interviews, no nothing. We'll just move you into that job. And we prayed about it and decided that was the best move, you know, for me to move into this job of doing intake interviews, which is what I still do today. So I knew right then that it wasn't my plan to be a warden or a director or any of that right then. But what happened after that is people started questioning my move. I moved into this job and people would come up and say, I don't understand why you're doing this. Finally, one guy walked up to me one day and he said, I just need to know something. I said, what's that? And I knew what was coming. He said, why? I said, why what? He said, why are you making this change? I said, and as he was walking up, I was just like, God, I need an answer. I'm tired of this question. And I looked at him and I said, you know, whenever you look at me, what you see is this uniform. You see these captain's bars, and that's my identity to you, but that's not who I am. And this guy looked at me and said, okay, and walked off. And I was like, wow, that was easy. So I started using that answer a lot. And I started really studying my identity in Christ. All this went along, and as I was telling Danny last night, the time frame of some of these things is a blur to me, but in June of 2006, I was officially diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. The following year, my symptoms progressed to the point where I was walking with a cane, and I brought something I want to show you. When people saw me, this is what I was walking with, because I figured if I had to walk with a cane, it was going to be cool. But people had a hard time understanding my attitude about this. You know, they would see me one day and I didn't have it. The next day I did have it. Even on a walk to Emmaus I worked several years ago, after the second day, it just hit me, and you know, I ended up walking with this. And of course I walked out with it, and people were like, you were fine yesterday, what happened? You know, and so I had to explain to them what this thing does. But some people had a hard time understanding my attitude with this disease. You know, how sometimes I handled it with humor. If I ended up losing my balance and hugging a door frame or something, you know, if I'd look at them and say, you know, right now I'm numb from the jaw down, I'd say, and they're like, you're what? Or I would ask them if they felt it when the room spun. You know, did you feel that? They'd be like, no. So, but a lot of times they would look at me and say, you know what, you look fine. That was hard to take because, you know, on the outside you may look okay, but on the inside your body's just fighting with itself. I actually had somebody tell me one time, you're not being healed because you don't have enough faith. That was hard to take. I reminded them that my Bible says that God gave everyone a measure of faith. It's all in how you use it. You know, at times, I would just get mad and frustrated and just go back to asking God why. That was what happened a lot of times. All that kind of changed one day. We were in Salina, Texas at a cowboy church. And as I said, I would get tired, I would get frustrated, and I was talking to somebody about this. They were asking me questions, and the pastor started walking towards me. He said, Clay, let me ask you a question. And I cringed. I was like, what is he fixing to ask? Because I've heard them all. And I said, what's that, pastor? He said, I just want to know what this has done with your relationship with God. And I stopped, and I just looked at him. I said, I'm closer than I've ever been in my life. He said, then that's all that matters. My attitude changed a lot that day. Because as I said, we were traveling. I would go out and I would get mad and I would say, God, I am not talking about MS today. You know, I'm going to get up and I'm going to preach. I'm going to bring testimony or whatever, but I am not talking about that. And before I knew it, it was coming out of my mouth. And people were coming up saying, will you pray with me? Because, you know, I've got a friend going through this or I'm going through this. And we just saw opportunities where God used it. And it was incredible. And I just had to think, you know, if I had really held on and said, I'm not going to do this and not allow God to work through it, I would have missed that opportunity. But all this reminded me, the trip to Salina, what that pastor said, it reminded me that what I needed to do was press into Jesus on a daily basis, to keep my focus on Him, to trust Him and know, as I said earlier, that everything's going to be okay. Went through some really good times when these symptoms went into remission. I love that part. You know, you get up and you feel good. You go to work, everything's good. You can think clearly. You can walk. You know, nothing's numb. That's a good thing. Imagine trying to play the guitar with numb hands. It's no fun. But I remember one time, I always had this deep down fear that they were going to come back. I lived with that daily. You know, when in the good times, I just always had that fear. And I remember one time I'd been without symptoms for quite a while, and I had to make a phone call to Danny after sitting at my work desk with my hands just shaking for about 30 minutes. I just had to call her and say, guess what, they're back. You know, not a good feeling. But I do have a confession to make to you in all this. You know, as I said, I prayed. I read Scripture. But this is where the story gets really interesting. Through all this time of reading Scripture, knowing what God had told me, that it was going to be okay, asking me to trust Him, having opportunities to share what God was doing with it, this was my prayer the whole time. I would say, God, whatever Your will is, if I have to deal with this, so be it. I just want to glorify You. That's a pretty legitimate prayer, you think? You know, Jesus prayed it, not my will, but Your will. And that's how I was thinking. You know, throughout my life, I've heard so many stories of miraculous healings. You know, people that just, and I believe in them. I believe healing is alive and well. And for some reason, God wasn't doing that in my life right then. But I'd heard all these stories, but what I saw was an opportunity for me to stand up and tell people this. You know, no matter what you're going through, God can still use you. He's still using me in all this. And I'm here today to tell you the same thing. God can use you no matter what you're going through. It may look hopeless, it may look tough, but God can use you. And that was my ministry at that time, telling people that and making sure they knew it. I'm going to jump forward to March of 2009, and I'm almost done with this story, I promise. But no, I'm not. I got a long ways to go with it. Done this morning. March of 2009, we went to a little town called Logansport, Louisiana. We love this church. We've been there so many times. We've done revivals there. I've given away a guitar there. Just the first time we stepped out of our truck at this place, I mean, me and a friend of mine looked at each other and said, did you feel that? Because the hair on our arms just stood up. You could just feel the Spirit in this place. It was incredible. We've seen so many things happen around and through this church. It's just been amazing. But normally when we went to Logansport, we spent the night with the pastor and his wife. We just got to be really good friends with them, and we always spent the night at their house and just enjoyed that time together. But what happened this time is we got there and they said, some people in the church have put this cabin together for people coming through and they want y'all to be the first ones to stay there. And we're like, okay. Yeah. And the pastor wasn't too happy about it either, you could tell. But we just decided that, you know, just to honor them for what they had done. But the next morning we got to church. I'd preached on Saturday night. It was a revival. I got there Sunday morning, and the pastor came in. He said, I'm really glad you didn't stay with us last night. I said, well, Frankie, I'm really glad too, I guess. Was it something I said or did? You know, he said, no. He said, I just want you to know I wrestled with God all night last night. And I said, what about? He said, I'll tell you later. So I got up. I did the music. I brought a message. And he got up afterwards. He said, Clay, I want you to sit down for a minute. And as he started talking, he said, I was sharing with Clay that I wrestled with God last night. And he said, what God told me, Clay, was this weekend is about you. Of course, I'm shaking my head. Just as I said earlier, I don't ever want it to be about me. So he said, God told me that the men in this church are supposed to pray over you and your family. Which I welcome that, because so many people had prayed over us and for us. You know. But something happened that morning. I walked to the front of that church, and it wasn't just the men of the church. It was that entire church that gathered around us. And as they began praying, I always like saying this part, my prayer changed. I told you what my prayer was before, whatever your will is. But that morning, my prayer changed. And deep down inside, it came up, and I said, God, if you're ready, I'm ready. I didn't know exactly what that meant right at the moment. And I didn't know my wife was next to me praying the exact same thing till we got in the truck and we're headed home to Abilene. My next part of that prayer was, God, if Rachel could just see you at work, if she could see your power. And I didn't know till we were in the truck going home that my wife was next to me praying the same thing. But I got up from that floor in the front of that church, and the first thing Rachel did was, how do you feel, Dad? And she asked me that immediately. I said, I feel good right now, you know. But I just continued to hear, it's going to be okay, and do you trust me? And I continued that prayer. If you're ready, I'm ready. And I can tell you right now, since that day, I've been living without major symptoms. I do get little reminders once in a while whenever I try to stress myself out or step outside of where I need to be. if I get busy at work and I start finding my focus getting off of him. And most of the times when I've had those little reminders, I realize that it's like, you know, I've got my focus away from where it needs to be. But I've been living without those major symptoms. God's given me the strength and the ability to ride, or this year to participate in my third MS 150 bike ride to raise money for MS. Something I never dreamed I would do, from walking on a cane to riding a bicycle for 150 miles in a weekend. I know that's crazy. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You had to go there, didn't you? That's another story for another day. Okay. But it's kind of funny. Whenever Jeff asked me to preach, there were two or three things that came to mind that, you know, I started praying about where I needed to go. This was probably the first one and the strongest one. I always ask for confirmation that I'm going the right direction. And this morning as I walked in, there's a sign out here in the hallway. You may not have seen it. They've put up black paper and silver stars. And as I walked in a while ago, I read this. It says, no matter where you are, trust God. No matter what people do, trust God. No matter what happens, trust God. I couldn't ask for better confirmation than that. Now, some of you may have gotten emails from me. You may have seen this, but I have a favorite saying I use to close out my emails. And I always tell people this: keep your eyes on the sun, S-O-N. And that's based on Hebrews 12, 2, the scripture I started with. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Would you bow your heads? Now, as the team comes forward to lead us in our last song, I ask you at the beginning of this message, where's your focus? I hope you've thought about that question this morning. So where is your focus? Are you looking at a doctor's report? Are you looking at a stack of bills saying there's no way I can make it? You're looking at your life saying, I don't see how God could ever use me. Are you here today hearing about this God I'm talking about and saying, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't have a relationship with that God, but I sure would like to have one. Here's something I've learned over the years. The more you focus on the problems in life, the bigger they become. The more you focus on the things that have you bogged down, the further down they'll bring you. Now it becomes a vicious cycle in your life. You find yourself frozen in your tracks. You find it hard to take the next step, just like I sang about earlier about being in shifting sand. You know, you think about it, the more you focus on the problems in your life, the bigger they become. Just the opposite can be true if you let it. The more you focus on God, the bigger He can become in your life. The more time you spend in His Word, the stronger your faith will become. The more you focus on the promises of God, the bigger you will become spiritually, and the better you'll be able to handle life's problems. I said it earlier, problems are going to come. But take heart, because He's overcome the world. So don't focus on the problems this morning. Focus on His promises. Promises that He'll never leave or forsake you. Promise of love. Promise of eternal life. A promise of a future and a hope. The promise that I got, that it's going to be okay. And do you trust Him? Morning, don't focus on your past, focus on the future that you can have with God. Don't focus on the world, focus on the one who created that world and what He can do in your life if you let Him. This morning the altar is open. If you need to spend time with Him, if you need to get your focus back where it needs to be, this is the time. Keep your eyes on the sun. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Father, we just I just praise You this morning, God. that we can have our focus on you, that we have a place that we can turn when those problems arise in life, Lord. I just pray for everyone here that their focus would be on you, that the things of earth would grow strangely dim. God, because that's not what it's about. It's all about you, Jesus. We just thank you and we praise you as the team plays.
We'd stay in worship. Turn around.
See you there. Well, we're going to do a baptism today. This is Colton McKee, which if you haven't met Colton, you need to meet Colton because he's an awesome young man. Just kind of a little history as to what brings us to this moment today as the rest of the kids come in. I'm going to hang on just a second, let them make their way in. Is that water warm or cold? Warm, all right. Well, Colton and Billy and Carlene and Mom and Dad and I were in the prayer room, a month ago, 6 weeks ago maybe, something like
April
that?
April the 12th.
April the 12th, you remember. It was a very significant, unless you were there, I can't even tell you. The Holy Spirit, we're in there praying. The Holy Spirit came on this young man. And he just began to pray, and it was the most incredible prayer I've ever been a part of. And he just began to pray, and it wasn't a 30-second prayer. It was probably more like a 30-minute prayer at least, 30 to 45 minutes. And he just began to pray that Jesus would come into his heart. And he had always told Mom and Dad, "I don't want to be baptized. I don't know really what that was all about." But in the middle of this prayer, he invited Jesus in his heart, and he said, "I want to be baptized." And each one of us just, our heads jerked at each other like, "Did he just say what I think he said?" And it was an amazing time. And Colton, I can't tell you how excited we are about that, buddy, and how much Jesus loves you. And so you come this morning wanting to be baptized. And so I ask you some of the things we talked about. First of all, do you ask God to forgive you of the sin in your life?
Yes.
Amen. And do you want to receive Jesus in your heart?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Amen. That's exciting, dude. Mom, where's Mom? If y'all want to come up here closer or something, or if you're okay, you okay right there? Okay. So if you'll step down on that, and Dad's going to help. You're going to sit down right there on that, and then you're going to hold your nose, and we're going to take you back here in just a second. You ready? Colton, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Woo! And now Dad's gotten a partial baptism. Mom, brothers, sisters, grandmas, friends, y'all come up. We're going to pray over this little guy, and we'll close our service at the same time. That's what happens. You get soaking wet sometime. All right, everybody kind of put a hand on Colton. If you can't reach him, just reach somebody in front of you. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you that you had this day marked on your calendar from the beginning of time. We thank you for Colton and how you died for him and how you love him. And we invite your Holy Spirit into him to fill him, to equip him to be a mighty instrument of yours. God bless his family as Ricky and Jennifer and the whole family as they come together to raise this young man to know you and to know you better and better and better each and every day. Bless this extended family, God, as we love this family as well. Again, we thank you for your gift of your Son, Jesus, and how you have loved Colton from the very beginning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are dismissed. God bless. Thank you, Clay.